What I like about this holiday season, this is my favorite part of the year because of the family holidays. Not that I believe that Christ was born on Christmas. I don't know exactly when he was born. I heard different things, but I don't know it. But it just gives the opportunity to where people are in this festive mood. And I think it's a good thing to be able to put Christ in any holiday. That's what I like to do. But I just like this part. I don't like winter. But I like this part of the year. It seems to be more festive. But also on the same time, it seems to be a part to where a lot of people are hurting. So we definitely keep people in prayer. But not only at this time, all year long, we celebrate the birth, life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ all year long. So let's not just stop today. So I could sing, what's the songs we sing, Silent Night? I could sing that in June, you know, that because I'm going to celebrate him all the time. We're going to talk about the gospel this morning. It's interesting to see the effects of it. And that's what we want to focus on, the effects of the gospel this morning. Let us bow. Dear God in heaven, thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, if you would, we're going to look at three different effects. The effects, first of all, two different effects, rather. The gospel itself, what is it? Then we're going to look at the effect on the hearer. And then we're going to look on the effect of the world. First of all, what is the gospel? Let's read it in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests."
All right. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. First of all, there's a Savior. To have a Savior implies that I'm in trouble. To imply that I was lost. So the Savior is here to save me. And he says these men were in the field, minding their own business, and then a light came and it shone around them, and they were afraid. They were afraid. But then the angel said, "Don't be afraid, for I bring you glad tidings of great joy." The gospel basically means the evangel, which means good news. I'm bringing you good news. Well, what's the good news, Brother Nunley? That you were in trouble, and now we have a way out. Sometimes, I heard a preacher say, sometimes you have to understand the bad news before you can comprehend the good news. You see what I'm saying? So we have to understand we need to be like those shepherds, afraid because our condition at times, our position is outside of Christ if we're sinners. So we need to be afraid, and that's why we go around and preach the good news of Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of people who don't know that they're in trouble. And sometimes we have to preach and let folks know there's danger. You remember that thing, what's the spaceman? Danger, Will Robertson, danger. We're lost in space, that little robot coming to, danger, Will Robertson, danger. He had to let us know, man, you in trouble. You know, and sometimes we have to let, that's what the echo of the gospel is. It's let folks know, hey, man, you in trouble. So we have to constantly teach this good news, but echo the fact that some people are in trouble. When we get up, and if you do like I do and a lot of evangelists do, you go out and you preach the word and you confront folks who are in trouble, but they don't know when they're in trouble. How many times have you spoken to someone who don't even go to church or believe in God, and they say, well, I'm a good person. I don't know. I'm not like I'm out killing people. You know, we try to base our lives compared to other folks. But we got to remember the comparison when God comes is not going to be with one another. It's going to be with Christ Jesus. And your life cannot compare to his life. So that's why he came to save you from your disaster. And the church said. Yeah, see, that's why they call it good news. See, it's good news. I remember I was playing football. We was playing football. I was in my 20s. You know, I can move. Just then when I twisted a little something went up my back and my sciatic nerve. No, but when I was in my 20s, that didn't happen. I was 20, man. We was playing football, Jason. We was playing the senior. Was out playing football. And I was on the offense. Quarterback did his thing. He looked around. Help, he went out. And I went across, threw an interception. And I had to go down the track down the guy who intercepted it. So he threw the ball, intercepted. He was going this way. I turned back around, and I told you this before, this is real big old guy. He was sitting there waiting for me, just like Satan. He's sitting there waiting for me. I turned around, and he's sitting there, and when I went past him, he just put a stiff arm on me, and it knocked me off balance, and I stopped, and I looked at him. He was like this. There was some bad news that I understood, that he saved me. You see, sometimes we need to know, man, we're in trouble. We need to stop and pay attention. You see, Christianity is a religion of paying attention. It says pay attention to what you say. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. Pay attention to what you hear. Pay attention to what you believe. The Bible talks about that. Let a man examine himself. Paying attention, be cautious, be aware of what you're doing. We need to pay attention because our lives could be in jeopardy. So that's why we preach the gospel, because there are a lot of folks out there who think they're okay. And that's why we need to preach, to let them be aware, pay attention. And so he says there's a great light came and it scared them. And then the angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you glad tidings of great joy. I think that's how he said it. Something like that.
Something like that.
But it was good news. You were in trouble, but here come the possibility of salvation. He says to you in the city of David, to you a Savior is born, and he shall be a sign for you. I noticed there that good news most all time is personal. It's for you. See, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, but I think he died on the cross for me. You see, you got to take it personal. He said in the city of David, a child's born for you. You got to understand that God knows you. He knows about your problem. He knows about your sorrow. He knows about your sickness. He knows about your pain. And that's why he came for you. He is not just a general thing that he spreads all over the world only, but he spread it and he hit your heart directly for a particular purpose. Right now, you are in this building for a specific diagrammed plan of God. You got to take advantage of it. So it's paying attention. It's knowing that God has taken me, Larry, for a purpose. And he sees me. And the good news is not about me. It's for me. I tell Christians that all the time. The good news is not about you. It's not about how you lived, died, and rose again. It's about how he lived, died, and rose again for you. Because you, all the time, are the one who needs saving. How many times you come to church? I don't know how many times you give money, how much money you give, what you do. you are still in need of saving. And so when you understand that, Proverbs 4 and all you're getting, get an understanding. When you understand that, then you can take the opportunity to be appreciative to what God has done. Understanding, I was in trouble. I was in trouble, but God reached down through time from the cross, and he reached down and he touched me in particular. He touched me specifically. Why? To save Larry Nunley. Yes, he saved y'all. That's good. But he was looking at me. We got to understand that. We have to understand that it's a personal thing. For you, today a Savior is born. In the city, it'd be a sign for you. Now notice what happened after that. Keep reading.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened."
Now, hold up. After they had this experience with God, then they said for themselves, "Let us go." Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. He had to see it for himself. You see, good news is all about for you. And you have to go see, first of all, for yourself. These men didn't want to hear only about Jesus. They wanted to experience Jesus. And that's what church is. When we come together, we have an opportunity to experience Jesus. That's why I keep saying stop making church religion. Bring it in, to come to God, and let's experience him. Let's experience God. Let's make our worship something that we could tell folks about. Why? Because we experienced it. That's the good news. It is the death, burial, and resurrection for you. Today, a Savior is born for you. Today, you're in debt. You ever see those debt-free commercials when they come on? You ever see them on the radio, on the TV, those get out of debt thing commercials? Guess what? How much money are you in debt? We can help you. They excited. You don't see them get on the road going, "Hey, y'all, who's in debt? I can save you. Call 1-800. Boy, I'm excited." They excited about it. Why? Because they believe I can get you out of debt. And because they're excited, they're going to get you excited. When we preach the gospel, when we come to worship, it's the same thing. When we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus, there is beyond." When we sing songs like, "There is beyond," look at my face, "beyond the age of blue, oh, God." When you see that, it's something, the words and the face don't match. I like that song you said, "My Redeemer Lives." I like when it gets to the part that says, I know. That guy's right. He's trying to emphasize. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know. He's emphasizing. Why? This man is letting you know. I believe it. You know, if you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ when you don't understand it for yourself. When it doesn't touch you personally, how can you touch someone else? It has to be something that you have experienced. You got to understand that Jesus on the cross, thinking about you all the way through time. Why? Because he knew you was going to be here. Heard somebody say, if everybody in the world was going to be perfect and you were the only person who was going to sin, Jesus would have still done the same thing. It's for you. It's for you. He died for you. If you don't take advantage of that, you're going to miss everything. You're just going to be showing up at church because it's time. You're going to get bored because these songs, you already know them. You're tired. You can only sing them in so many different styles. And I don't care how good the song leader is, this is going to be still the same song, same thing. You're going to sit here and get bored after a while when you don't understand the purpose. What is the purpose? We are in this because God was in us. He was thinking about you. The Almighty Creator thought about you. And he still thinks about you. It's personal. You have this disconnect. God is trying to get it back together. Why? By making it personal. In the city of David's born for you. And then when they experienced it, they said, man, we got to go see this for ourselves. It's the effect. When God touches you personally, you can't sit there and let somebody else's man. For instance, personal intimacy cannot be shared by another person other than you. That's what I mean. Here's my beautiful wife. I love her, but I don't need anybody in this building being intimate to her for me. And the church said, y'all understand what I'm saying? You could pray for me. You could be an intercessor, but I don't want you to be my substitute prayer. I want to pray for myself. I can look, it may seem like a good thing for somebody to give their offering for you, but believe me, no, it's not. You don't want to miss out on the blessings of giving for yourself. You don't want somebody to worship for you. Why? Because you missed the medicine. It's personal. Stop doing things because it's the shell of Christianity. And do it because, as Paul said, I want to know Christ Jesus and I want to know him crucified. I want to get personal with God. I want to find out what he has for me. Why did he die for me? All the people in the world, and he picked me to preach. Why? I want to know. And I can't know that just by walking in and out of a building on Sunday. I have to get to know God, and that's a daily walk. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I need to hear amen somewhere. Because it needs to be personal. So you can experience God. Not your mama, not your preacher, not your buddy, but you. Remember that song? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. And it says, not my mother, not my father. It's me, oh Lord. I need the prayer. It's personal. So I want to experience God. I want to know him and him crucified. First effect, we got the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The first effect of that is it's personal. Folk got to know him for themselves. They have to experience. And then second, what does the scripture say? What were you?
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Yes.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them.
When they seen him, after they had experienced. Notice they didn't go spread the word after they heard it. They wouldn't spread the word after they saw it. After they experienced it, then they went and spread the word. Guess who I saw? Well, you know what? According to the Bible, Andrew, Peter's brother, he's the one who brought Peter to Jesus. He said, Peter, I found the Messiah. Come with me. That's good news. That's the effect of good news. What happens when something happens good to you? The first thing you want to do is tell somebody. That's the natural reaction of good news. I want to tell somebody. When I experience good news, you had a bad ultrasound reading on your test or something, and you think it's bad, and man, the doc come back and say, oh, we made a mistake. Your bill of health is up. You have a good bill of health. What's the first thing you want to do when you walk out of that doctor's office? Tell somebody, I'm good. Oh, Satan, you thought you had me, but I'm good. You know, that's the thing you want to, that's a natural reaction. And that's how God designed the gospel. Once it affects you, you can't help but tell somebody. It's natural to hold the gospel in. It's unnatural if you truly have been affected by it. That doesn't make sense. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make sense to receive the gospel. It affects you, and you don't tell nobody. You tell no one. That doesn't make sense. You're not designed that way. That's not natural. But when it hits you for real, you be less like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, man, I wanted to shut up, but my mouth kept popping open. The word was like a fire, shut up in my bones. I couldn't hold it in. But when I am truly affected by God, My nature is to tell other folks. That's my nature. So I ask myself, when I don't preach the gospel, maybe I haven't received it. Oh, Brother Nutley. That's a good point. Woo! What if I don't? I just don't refuse. I don't tell folks. By natural build, the way things work, you naturally tell folks good news. That's the nature of good news. You can't hold that stuff in. But when you don't tell folks, maybe you don't have the good news yourself. And if you don't have it, God is saying, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. When those burdens are lifted, you can't help but tell some folks. And it happens naturally in the store. You ever been in the store and somebody's talking about something? You hear two people talking and they say, well, I've been trying to make this cake and I kept putting salt in it. It's not tasting right and stuff. If you know how to make a cake, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to tell them, excuse me, ma'am, why you keep putting salt in a cake? It's sugar. It's a sweet. You're going to tell them, though, right? You're going to sit there and go, well, I'm not going to her house. You'd be like at that church, who made the potato salad? Who made the potato salad? You know? You know what I'm saying? The good news automatic illuminates from you. Even not if not verbal, physically. When people get good news, they stand. They walk upright. Why? Because the effect of the good news. I was at church on a Sunday morning. We're about ready to do the benediction. And I wasn't supposed to do the closing prayer, but I asked the guy, let me do it. So I got up and I did the closing prayer. I said, amen. Everybody said, amen. They got ready to move around. You know how we do. I said, excuse me, may I have your attention? And I need to do something. I said, it's by you. I was talking to Reseda Boulevard Church of Christ where we worship. I said, it's by you. I met the beautiful Patricia. What's your last name? Whitaker. Whitaker. I met beautiful Patricia Whitaker. And I walked down in the front of her, and I said, will you be my rib? I said, will you be my rib? And then I knelt down on one knee, and I said, will you marry me? She said yes, but that was the first answer. But no, she said yes. I was excited. I was excited. But you know what the excitement was? It's not only the asking, it was the building up. It was the building up to it. You know, when these shepherds were in the field and they got the information, can you imagine how excited they were running to see Jesus? Can you imagine the anticipation? What does he look like? What does this mean? What's happening? Can you imagine the build up? Well, that's what worship is all about, the build-up. Why? Because I'm about ready to send you out into the world. You're about ready to go out into the world now. On this church, it has where the exit sign is on the outdoor. It says you are now entering into the harvest. You're about ready to go into the harvest. Are you ready? Are you ready to share what you have been a partaker of? Be ready, because God is good. And there's a lot of people out there, there's a lot of people in here haven't quite experienced that yet. But God is good. And every plan you have for yourself, God has a bigger one for you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. You don't have plans bigger than God. He's calling you now. Don't hold them off. It's good news because I know where I came from. And for me to be here where I am and the joy that I have, what I have, the family I have, the job that I have, the place I have, all that I never thought was possible. But now unto him that is able. Whew. But that's not my home. The home I live in now is just brick and wood. But the one that I have, 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, when this house is dissolved, we have a house made in heaven, the eternal, not made with hands. That's the home that I have. That's the eternal glory I have. That's the thing that I have. And I'm claiming it today because I have received the good news of Jesus Christ, that I was a sinner. That no matter how good I was, I would never be good enough to make it to heaven. And God saw that. And he came down on this earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. Then he died a cruel death. They buried him, but he arose again the third day according to the scriptures. Why? Just for me. Little old me. And I'll tell you something right now. I sin. I stumble. I stumble in my thoughts. I stumble in my intentions. I stumble. But he still said, I'm going to come get you. I'm going to get you anyway. And I'm going to wash you. And every sin you commit, I'm going to wash away. Now, why would I abuse that, Norman? Why would I say, okay, God, I'm going to let you just keep on forgive me. I'm just keep on sinning. You're going to forgive me. But that won't work. Why do we know that? Romans the 6th chapter. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? God forbids. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? Yo, we have Jesus Christ. Let's not abuse that. He was born for our salvation. So let's put him first. If you do that, you'll win. Guaranteed. How do you start putting them first? By hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. How do you respond to that? By believing it, by putting him on in baptism for your sins to be washed away, so you be filled with his Holy Spirit, and that you be added to his family, the church. If you've done that, then you are in the family. You have the good news. Now share it. If you haven't done that, I've done it. I have the good news, and that's why I'm sharing it with you right now. I want you to respond to it. If you haven't responded to it, we want you to come now. The Bible says in Hebrews, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come down now. If you haven't put them on in baptism, if you put them on thinking that I'm saved already, but I'm just doing this just to, as an outward showing of an inward grace, that's nowhere found in the Bible. But what is found in the Bible is that you repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Do you want that? If you do, we want you to come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.